We're joined on the line this morning by Advocate Feroz Boda from Cage Africa. And he'll be talking to us about Guantanamo as well as September 11 and some interesting developments on that front. Welcome to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khair for joining us this morning. What do you have to tell us about the possible upcoming Guantanamo Bay closure? And what will the relocation process be like?
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Barack Obama, when he 8 years ago was running for elections for the first time, promised that within a space of a year, that's from the time he was elected, Guantanamo Bay would be closed, recognizing that it was a plot on American society's morality. Today, Guantanamo Bay is open longer under Barack Obama than it was under George Bush. He didn't close it. What many people don't report on, and many journalists don't report on, because the administration gives the impression that the Senate is alone responsible for the fact that the detention facility hasn't been closed, is the fact that Barack Obama actually has executive power, like any other president in the world, to issue a closure notice. The decision whether to open or close a detention facility like this is an executive decision. So in other words, legally speaking, it's the executive that must ultimately make the decision. And as head of the executive, any president would have certain executive powers. So even if somebody is, for example, convicted of a crime in a normal court and is found guilty, every president will have the executive power to pardon that person. Now, in the same way, Barack Obama has the executive power to exercise his right to close Guantanamo Bay by issuing an executive order. Now, he exercises this executive power, for example, when he decides to invade countries, when he every Tuesday decides who he's going to kill by way of a drone attack, because the New York Times reported that every Tuesday Barack Obama is presented with lists from different agencies in the United States and he approves who must be assassinated through a drone attack. But he doesn't want to use his executive power here, and he says here he wants Senate approval. So he's made it difficult upon himself to close this, but creating the impression that it's the Senate, which is stopped quite a bit by the Republican Party, is the one that is blocking it. And he said he's not going to use his executive power. He's going to then try and get Senate approval. Now, he presented a plan earlier this week where he's indicated publicly that the detention facility will be closed, and he's presented a plan to Senate. But if you look at the plan, the representation he's making to the public that this facility is going to be closed is actually a lie, because he doesn't want to close it. All he wants to do is relocate it to American soil. Now, currently, there are 91 detainees who are still there. Out of the 91, there is approximately 30 who have been cleared for release. In other words, they've gone through certain processes. It's been 14 years for some of them. Some of them have been cleared for release 5-6 years ago, and they haven't been released. There is this component from the 91 who are cleared for release. There are 10, and this is only 10 out of the 770 that was originally in Guantanamo Bay. It's now reduced to 91. 10 have faced military trials, and from the 10, approximately five are accused of crimes relating to September 11, which I'll deal with just now. And then there are 46 from these 91 who still remain there, who are called forever prisoners. Now, what this means is that the administration admits that after 14 years, they have nothing on these people. There's absolutely no crimes they can even think about that these people have been committed. But they deem them, for whatever reasons only known to them, as too dangerous to release. So they're forever prisoners. They're going to be kept in this detention facility forever because they deemed too dangerous to be released without ever having committed any crime. And none of these people, in fact, all the 770 that was kept from the start, were never ever convicted properly of a crime in a court. So what he wants to do with these people is he wants to relocate them on American soil, giving the impression that he's closing a chapter in America's history. But what he's actually doing is opening up a new chapter, because he's now going to transfer this legal black hole called Guantanamo Bay, where people are kept for years and years and years in detention without trial, where people are kept, are tortured, and we all know about the types of torture that people have experienced. I mean, ranges from waterboarding, noise torture, sleep deprivation, light torture. Some of them have been raped with objects. It just, the list just carries on. He wants to take this entire regime and he wants to transfer it to American soil. It's not a closure, it is a transfer. And he is misleading the public. One of the reasons that he got elected was his election promise, which he's not keeping. And now, 1 year, he's got 1 year left, and as an act of desperation now, he's come up with this so-called closure plan, as he dubs it. But it's not a closure plan, it's a transfer plan. And to the detainees, it means absolutely nothing, because for them, it doesn't really matter where they detain. The prolonged detention carries on. The detention without trial carries on. These detainees don't have basic rights like visitation rights. They don't have rights to study. Even serial killers who are convicted of crimes have rights to study in prison, have a visitation rights. None of the detainees, all of them being innocent, who are kept in Guantanamo Bay, have any of these rights. And Barack Obama simply just wants to transfer these detainees to American soil, and is going to open up a new chapter in American history, because now you're going to have a legal black hole existing in America, and if he wants to maintain this facility there, they would have to pass legislation to permit this, because they're going to have to undermine the U.S. Constitution, and in order to continue to deny these prisoners their due process rights, they're going to have to pass legislation to do this. So the criticism against America will continue, the duplicity and hypocrisy will continue, and nothing really will change.
Yes.
So that is really as far as the closure, the so-called closure plan that is concerned.
Yes, now you also referred to the five people that are being charged with September 11 attacks. What is happening in that trial?
Yeah, so there's five people charged, and basically the charges, one of them is Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. Basically, the charges against the five people relate either to the fact that it is alleged that they planned or plotted the operation, that they funded the hijackers, or that they assisted in facilitating travel arrangements to the hijackers who ultimately were responsible for the September 11 attack. Now, one must bear in mind the context of what I'm going to say. As a result of the September 11 attacks, America invaded three countries. First Iraq, then Afghanistan, and then Yemen, where it is currently still conducting an undeclared war, because almost every day or every second day there are night raids and there are drone attacks in Yemen. As a result of this, millions of people have been killed. And the American administration hide the figures, but there's been a recent report about a year ago in the Middle East Monitor where they actually looked at the deaths from 1996, that's before September 11th, to 2010, so it's not even up to date. And they estimated that 4 million Muslims have been killed in America's wars. Now, if we extrapolate and take away the deaths from 96 to 2001, we're still into the millions, and if you take the fact that they continuing these wars as we speak, from 14 years now they've been conducting wars. Every day people are killed. So millions have been killed as a result of this September 11 attack. The war on terror started because of this. The rendition program started because of this. The torture program started of this. as a result of this. Black sites were open as a result of September 11. 770 men, all of them Muslim, were kidnapped, 99% of them innocent. Many of them were sold by bounty hunters because America was passing out rewards for capture of alleged Al-Qaeda operatives, and the rewards went up to about $5,000. All of this happened because of the September 11 attacks. Now, what do they have to show for it? They have to show for it only the fact that five people are allegedly accused of these crimes. Now, what is happening currently is the following. These people are facing military tribunals. These are not ordinary courts of law. Now, in ordinary courts of law, you cannot try a person in a court where you have been kidnapped to be and brought to that court. It's an international legal principle that says a court will not have jurisdiction if a person was kidnapped from one country to another country to face trial. These prisoners are not entitled to raise that international law principle. They're precluded from doing so in a military tribunal. Secondly, there's an internationally accepted principle that nobody can be convicted on the basis of evidence obtained from torture. Now, every single one of these five people who are facing trial as a result of the September 9/11 attacks have been tortured, but in these military tribunals, they are precluded from raising the fact that the confessions that they sign under torture are inadmissible because they were tortured in order to obtain these confessions. Like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, we all know, was waterboarded hundreds of times in order to extract the confession. So these two things alone will tell you these are more like kangaroo courts. But what has been happening in the courts, in this military tribunal since, is actually a legal farce. There's been 14 pre-trial hearings so far. In other words, pre-trial hearings to solve preliminary issues. Now, these preliminary issues, in other words, the trials haven't started on the merits. Now, these preliminary issues range from all sorts of things. I'll give you an example. In one of the preliminary hearings, one of the September 11 accused actually pointed out to the judge that the interpreter who was interpreting was a person who actually was part of the torture program and had tortured him and other CIA and other detainees. So there was a preliminary issue about the objectivity of the interpreter. Then other preliminary issues relate to the fact that the prisoners are not entitled to have lawyers of their choice, and they don't trust some of their lawyers who have been appointed to them by the American administration. Now, when there's this relationship of trust which is lacking in the attorney-client relationship, when the prisoners want to fire the lawyers, the judge tells them, listen, you have to take the lawyer that has been appointed to you, and you don't have to like him, and the trial is going to carry on. Then the lawyers have indicated to the judge that they are being frustrated from actually preparing for trial because their conversations with their clients are all being bugged. So there's absolutely no attorney-client privilege. Then the lawyers are not entitled to discovery of information, and sometimes there's a rule where the military will then, the head of the prison or whoever's in charge of the legal case for the prison will decide what evidence the lawyers can actually show the accused. So there's certain secret evidence which only the lawyers can see, but they can never, and they have to sign declarations, never tell their clients what this evidence is and never discuss or obtain instructions from their clients. Now, so it's a complete legal farce. Now, in the last week, what has been happening is a while back, this military judge issued an order which said that no female guards can escort the prisoners to legal consultations or to the military tribunal. Now, despite this order, the prison has not obeyed this order, and they are continuing to ensure that female guards escort the prisoners. And that means now the female guards now have to touch the prisoners and search them and escort them. Now, the administration then knows that this is against the Deen of Islam, and the judge last time actually made an order after hearing evidence that this is in breach of the people's religion. But now the administration wants to reopen this whole thing up. And now, so what the judge asked for is, he said, okay, but I've already made a ruling. If you want me to reconsider the ruling, can you get me the transcripts of the evidence that was led previously? Now, the administration does not want to give the judge those transcripts. And then after the lawyers made noise, they gave them some of the transcripts and redacted some of the transcripts. And they told the judge, you don't have the power to order us to give these transcripts. The power to do this is in the hands of some military official. So they're continuing to, bedevil this process with this issue about cars. And now what the administration is saying is that this policy or this thing was actually discriminatory, because it's against females. And, I mean, we all know that this is against the religion. I'll give you one more example.
Yes.
I mean, there's many, many, but just in 2 days ago, one of the accused said that whenever he has got to consult with his lawyers and whenever he has got to come before the military tribunal, the night before, he doesn't sleep because somebody continuously bangs on his cell. So when he comes to court, he's actually not in a position to even function because he hasn't had any sleep for 24 hours. So the sleep deprivation continues under the Obama administration. So these are the type of things that are happening in this trial, and one can't even call it a trial. It's a kangaroo court. It's an absolute legal farce. And I mean, the administration really is just damaging its reputation more and more by continuing this legal charade. So that's basically what is happening at the moment.
Yeah, so various things taking place, and KJ Africa keeping the pulse on that. We appreciate your input and sharing the information with us this morning, Firoz. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That is Firoz Boda from KJ South Africa, or Africa, sharing with us the latest developments on two fronts. Guantanamo, as he said, that it's playing with words, really, that there's nothing really going to change there in terms of really freeing those prisoners. That's the one issue, and the other issue is with regards to the manner in which they are being treated. You are listening to Sabah al-Muslim.